Hello and welcome to a very special episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 4, episode 16, The End's Not Near, It's Here.
If you are a new listener to this podcast, we are I've Never Seen the OC. I'm Jane and I have seen the OC. And over there we have
Heather and I have never seen the OC. I feel quite sweaty already, and that is because there are a lot of people who are actually here live this Sunday, the 7th of November, 2021. It is 7 p.m. UK time, but we have a listener from China. It's 3 a.m. over there. We have a listener in Australia. It's 5 a.m. there, which is wild. I would never get up for 5 a.m. for anything.
I know, thank you.
It's 11 a.m. in LA. I'm sorry, I didn't know Tom was going to be in Texas, or I would have checked what time it is in Texas. But yeah, it's wild. We're here. We're alive. It's very exciting. I'm a little bit sweaty. How are you holding up?
I'm good. A little nervous, but we'll get going.
It's going to be great. Just before we jump in, we've got a little bit of housekeeping. I've had a couple of people message on socials at Never Seen the OC about voice notes. It is not too late to send us a voice note. We are after just a really short line, just telling us what the podcast means to you, why you love it. And yeah, that would be lovely. You can send them to helloSethCohen@gmail.com. That's helloSethCohen@gmail.com. If you could send them to us, you have until the 21st of November as a deadline. 21st of November.
Perfect.
See you play.
Plenty of time.
Do you have any other business? Anything you want to address? It's your last opportunity, Jane.
No, I'm good. I think we just go straight into last time on the OC.
Very quickly before we jump in, at what point do you think you're going to cry? Do you want to place bets on it now?
Probably after this glass of wine.
Oh, great. Yeah. I think I'll be at the end. I think if I get through the thank yous without crying, I'll be very, very impressed. Yeah. I'll be very impressed.
I've actually written down every bit I got teary, and it was really quite early on.
But did you watch this this morning? No, this was when you watched it a couple of days ago.
And then I put it on and I was getting ready earlier, and I was like, I'm too hungover for this. Too many feels.
Yeah, you don't need that kind of emotional triggering when you're a bit fragile, do you?
No.
Okay, last time on the OC.
Yeah, so Summer has had an offer from GEORGE, the Global Environmental Organization, regarding greenhouse emissions. So she has been given a job offer and she has to sort of pick between Seth and her destiny, if you like.
Mm-hmm. We also get a bit of a reminder about the old Bullet and Frank, who's Julie going to choose situation, which when I was watching it, I was like, that's weird because that storyline is dead. But
yeah,
it all became apparent very quickly. I mean, the big thing, we can't not talk about it. The simple fact that, you know, there was an earthquake, you know, no biggie. And it completely trashed the Coen's house. We have never had this before when they do a really dramatic, 6 months later.
Yeah.
This is a time frame. That's all I want in this show, is a goddamn time frame, and I love it.
I mean, more happened in this episode than it's happened the rest of the season. They could totally have gone for 20 episodes and actually padded out these storylines. And
100%.
Think of how 100%. Much time was given to Johnny, and that was so shit.
Oh my god.
Think of what they've crammed into one episode here.
I feel we shouldn't get you started on Johnny.
Yeah.
Let's skip over that. Okay, everyone is living at the Roberts residence. Let's not call it anything else because that's what it is. The Roberts residence. Caitlin, Sandy and Ryan are making crepes on Taylor's orders. She's over in France. Kirsten finally looks pregnant.
Yeah, this is when I first started tearing up, pregnant Kirsten.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It just felt really emotional.
Yeah, okay, sure. Okay, that's really thrilling, but sure. Turns out Taylor and Ryan have broken up. Thank God.
Yeah, I think Ryan in this whole episode is really weird. Like, it could almost be like a different actor playing him, just his reactions to things. I think they're really strange.
It's almost like they've spent four series, like, setting up, you know, a character, working on that character art, working on that character, and then gone, fuck it.
Yeah.
Right at the end.
Yeah.
Speaking of fuck it, why is Julie Cooper pregnant? Whose idea was that?
Why is she wearing hair in bunches? That's what I thought was even crazier.
What is in the water in Newport that these 36 to 40-year-old women should just get off so easily? Yeah.
Who knows?
Jesus.
But yeah, we do get there, don't we? So basically find out that Ryan hasn't spoken to Taylor for months. He has not read her blog. He's not even looked at her, that terrible scrapbook. He's basically over it and he's like, oh, don't even think about her. And yeah, I've just also written down, this is some opening scene. Like, talk about context. So much has happened in 6 months, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, all the Coens are living in the Roberts residence and Caitlin's perfected her Sandy Cohen impression.
Has she though?
Nah.
Has she though?
although I did enjoy Sandy just saying, like, I am very sexy.
He is very sexy. So it's a factual statement. So Julie is also engaged to Bullet.
Yeah.
And they're getting married tomorrow.
Yeah. a lot going on.
I don't understand. I get that 6 months has passed, but this is wild. It's wild. So basically, Julie is saying she's a bit nervous about the wedding tomorrow. And Kirsten is like, oh, we'll just think after tomorrow, you'll just be another old married couple like those two upstairs. Cut to Seth and Summer on recliners watching TV.
Yeah.
I was not expecting this.
Nah, so they've basically, Summer's got her rollers in, they've got their like sort of matching lazy boys, and they're watching Briefcase or No Briefcase, which I imagine is just like Deal or No Deal, yeah?
What's the other one with the, what are they called, the shipping containers? And like you have to say, oh, I'll give you 20 grand for whatever's in that shipping container, and it could be crap, it could be amazing.
Right. I don't know.
That's what I was imagining, but I have not Googled to check what such show is.
Yeah, who knows, but... Yeah, they're basically obsessed with that. Sandy knocks and he's like, right, today is the day that the inspector is coming to see the house and make the decision. And I think we should all be there. And yeah, you just sort of get the vibe that Summer and Seth have been sort of holing up in her room. The fact that they're like cooking in it and stuff's pretty weird.
So weird. Would your parents ever have let you cook in your room?
No, would you ever have? I wouldn't even have contemplated it. So yeah, I can't so imagine. Yeah. So we then get to the Cohen house, don't we? And we've got a guy in inspecting it and they're all sort of trying to decipher his body language and really hoping for the best. And yeah, the guy's just a bit like, Sandy says, oh, when can we start work? And he's like, how about never? And apparently the amount of structural damage is like too substantial. And then classic Seth is like, but dad, can't we just like pay to fix it? And yeah, it turns out that the cost of repairing the house is more than the value of it. So there's like no saving it and there's just sort of... forlorn looks all around, isn't there?
Yeah. I'm very interested to know what district attorneys get paid in LA.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Kirsten doesn't really have a job, let's face it. Yeah. Caleb left them nothing.
Ah, there was no money in the Newport.
Where is this money coming from? Especially, see, when they were like going to sign for the new house, I was like, with what money?
Yeah.
Insurance money, maybe. But still, weird.
Yeah, so the house can't be saved. And then we go to Phantom Planet for one last time.
Did you cry at Phantom Planet?
Yeah, honestly, I'm an emotional wreck this week.
Jesus, Jane.
Yeah. So we've got the credits and then Sandy and Ryan are viewing like a pretty stunning gaff. It looks like something off of like Selling Sunset or to that effect, doesn't it?
Absolutely. To be fair, I'm a sucker for an infinity pool, any infinity pool, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so fancy.
Yeah.
I would move in there in a heartbeat. Wouldn't even think about it.
Definitely. It doesn't have a pool house, but it does have 6 bedrooms, but it doesn't feel like home. And Sandy's like, oh, maybe I'm just not ready to leave the old place. And yeah, even here, I felt like Ryan was like, oh, I'm going to miss it, but I'm really looking forward to going to Berkeley. Like, it was just so wooden and weird, like, the way his reactions to situations.
It's almost like it's just really bad script writing to try and, like, remind people. Yeah. Like, especially if the season was going to be cancelled, maybe it was their thinking that loads of people who'd stopped watching it season 4 would tune in for the final.
Yeah, maybe.
And they wanted people to, like, be across it. The writing did feel, like, really, for want of a better word, whack.
Yeah, but I suppose they're sort of doing that thing as well in episode 15, we talked a lot about how they kept doing these little like fade scenes. So it was like basically about four or five times in the episode, they would basically cut to where every character was. Yeah, and it was, we felt it was so weird, pretty unnecessary. But yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on in this episode.
It does feel like they're super trying to like hype up the emotions.
Yeah.
Like there was a couple of times I was like, this is so gratuitous. Like you're only doing this to try and make people cry, guys. Come on now.
It's working. But yeah, with the mention of Berkeley, Sandy starts sort of reminiscing about their old Berkeley house and all the character that it has. And then Kirsten appears and she's like, yep, this house is none of those things. It's got no characters. It's average. It's generic. But yeah, let's make an offer.
It's got an infinity pool, yeah. Kirsten. What are you talking about?
There's nothing average or generic about it. But yeah, Kirsten's like, look, we should just make an offer. We've seen five versions of the same house. Like, who cares? She's just a bit blasé about it all. And Sandy's just like, yeah, whatever you want, honey. And yeah, Ryan's just a bit like, you can see he's got a plan forming.
He does, a cunning, sneaky plan. Summer is showing Seth the floor plan of their new apartment in Providence, one would assume.
Yep, Providence. Uh-huh.
And this is where we kind of very much realise that they are in a real funk.
Yeah.
A real ugly funk. They are just going on about hot plates, they're going on about TiVo. She goes over to try and like call, she goes over to her desk to get something. And this is where she sees an old leaflet about saving the otters. Remember that?
Yeah.
All that trial and tribulation we had to go through with Shay and the spirit animal storyline for it to be no.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. It's going to make me annoyed.
Do you not think this all had like lockdown vibes? Like, I was like, this is really triggering.
I didn't think it then, but I'm thinking now.
Yeah, because he's like, big screen TV, like hot plate lazy boys. Like, isn't it awesome that we get to live like this for the next 4 years? And it's like, yeah, Summer like has to run like away forever. Like,
very
get out of this situation. Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got Ryan comes up and he's like, Seth, I need your help. And Seth's like, I don't want to leave this room. But Ryan's like, well, I need you to leave the city. And yeah, that's when we realise they're going to go to Berkeley.
Yep. Oh, hello, Kelly.
Oh, she's making an appearance.
There's a cat on the prowl. You have been silent all day. Why is now the point you're choosing to... Okay, sure. We'll continue. She's probably going to interrupt. It's going to be fine. Kelly is my cat, for those of you that maybe don't know that. And she loves interrupting a Zoom call. It's literally her favourite thing to do. So I'm sure you'll see her imminently.
At some point, yeah.
Okay, Taylor is back from Paris. She is coming through customs. I never speak to the people at customs.
No.
I don't make small talk. Mm-mm. I literally slide them a passport, give them a small nod, yep. And that is it. Do not engage. Don't make too much eye contact. I don't know why I get so stressed about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you've
like,
got nothing
do you have
to
anything
hide
to declare, and I'm like, yeah. No. Oh my god, like it stresses me out so bad. But she's just like literally giving this guy her life story. All he asked was business or pleasure. It's a very simple question, and she's like, "Oh, well, seeing Ryan Atwood isn't exactly pleasurable, and it's stressful." And I'm like, "You're stressful.
You're stressful. So stressful."
Do you know what's so weird is like I hated Taylor at the start, like absolutely hated her. Then I loved her. Now I'm straight back to hating her. It's a full 360.
Yeah, they've really. I think we talked about this in the last episode as well. That they've really sort of just made her a bit almost, it's almost like a parody of herself.
Yeah, like a weird caricature.
Yeah, it's just, it's too much. But yeah, so basically she starts banging on about how Ryan learned French. He got swatted up on his cheeses. She learned to play like hacky sack. And she says something weird. She's like, I stopped wearing shoes. I was like, what does that even mean?
Maybe it's like a college trope.
Maybe.
Do you know what hacky sack makes me think about? She's All That, when Freddie Prinze Jr. does hacky sack on the stage.
Oh, I love Freddie Prinze Jr. So then she starts banging on about how, oh, they didn't work and I left to escape a painful reality of yet another failed relationship, or just like a very toxic one. And then again, going on the casual stalking jokes, and she's like, oh, it's a good thing I never fell in love with the president. And the customs guy is like, woofed, alert level 5, like on her pick.
Straight on a watch list, huh?
Yeah.
Top of the list. Summer is here to pick her up, and you can actively see like Taylor looks upset that Ryan isn't there with her, and Summer is like, you told me not to tell Ryan, why are you now surprised that Ryan isn't here?
Yeah,
but then obviously within a matter of seconds they bump into Seth and Ryan. Of course, classic.
Yeah,
I feel like it's really kicking off in the comments about Taylor.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Lena says Taylor would be one of my faves, shame the writers can't write her. Fair. Taylor's the worst, Suzanne. Fair.
Yeah, if you saw Danny's comment as well, she said, you know what bothered me about this scene? Taylor has a Louis hand luggage, but like the most basic suitcase. It makes no sense. Why would you have a Louis bag, but like an old man Target suitcase? Not that there's anything wrong with a good old Target suitcase. Is she rich or not? Was
where's she getting her money from?
Yeah, why is she gone to Paris? Like, why is she gone? Is she gone back to
where'd
find
she get the money
Henri?
To go to Paris?
Yeah,
I have questions.
So many questions, but yeah, she's back from Paris and she's clearly not over Ryan.
Yeah, I think Natalie has like completely nailed it in this statement here. Taylor became one of the best. Oh wait, someone's. Oh, there's too many comments and it's gone away. Taylor became one of the best and most empowered characters, and it's like they thought that they had to bring her down a peg or two by introducing these quirks.
Yeah.
That were just straight up problematic. Yeah, nailed it. That's it.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad we've solved that. See you later, guys. Have a nice night.
Okay. But yeah, Seth and Ryan are in the airport. They're talking about a rental car and they all sort of come face to face. And oh, it's just so awkward, isn't it? Taylor's like, well, Ryan, did you come to surprise me? And Summer's already told him, like, that's not the case. And he's like, oh, didn't even know, like, you were coming and I'm leaving. They're away on a mission. And yeah, again, it's just very much, she's like, well, it's not like I'm still in love with her. And she's like, oh my God, I'm still in love with him. So
yeah,
that's where we're at with that.
Over to Caitlin, who is hanging out with, I've written down one of Bullet's 12 sons, but then very quickly realised it's Spencer, right?
Spencer, yeah. So yeah. she's with Spencer at the plaza. Again, we figured this out in the last episode as well, that the outdoor mall space, as we've been calling it the whole time, was referred to as the plaza in episode 15.
Although they tidied that up pretty quick. 6 months. Good turnaround, guys.
Yeah.
Good job.
Looks great.
So yeah, she walks in with Spencer and she's like, oh, well, if the rest of them are like you, like they can't be that bad. And he's like, well, and it's, I'm quite immature when it comes to certain words, like especially when it's like a sexy word.
Oh, Heather.
And people are using it in like a non-sexy. I cannot stop laughing. And then when they were like, bullets meet squirt, squirt meet the bullets, I literally was pissed.
you are a child. You're such a child.
Funny. It made me laugh a lot.
She hoped they're all like Spencer, but it turns out not. They're all like Bullet. They've all got like cowboy hats galore, and they're all giving their howdies. So we've got Austin, Dallas, Houston, Lubbock, Odessa, El Paso, Amarillo, Texarkana, San Antonio, Corpus Christi, and Hanoi. And yes, so there's a whole buffet of bullets, and they all shout bang, and it's. It's pretty terrifying.
A buffet of Bullet. I actually can't imagine it. I really like Bullet as a character. Yes, yeah. He's problematic. Of course he is. But this episode has just made me be like, Bullet is a good guy.
He's funny. He's got some really good lines in this.
He really does. And then Julie turns up and it turns out she's been away for her scan. Why would Bullet make her go to that on her own? But sure, okay. And it's a boy. Lucky number 13. A boy. Oh boy, oh boy.
Then we then cut to the plane touching down in Berkeley, and Seth and Ryan are at the Cohen house and they knock the door and we've got a sort of a male couple answer it and they're like, we'd like to buy your house. Now, the guy that plays Todd, did you pick up on this?
So, yeah, he's the waiter from episode one that was like, would you like a filo fluff, 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 fluff?
So he's in the pilot. He's also in Return of the Nana. And yeah, obviously, then he's in this. So he's playing like a completely different character. But apparently he was like a casting associate on the show as well.
I love it. I actually love this setup. It's really enjoyable. The house is also ridiculously beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, lovely, isn't it?
Absolutely beautiful. Imagine having the audacity.
Oh, this is nuts.
To walk
absolutely nuts
to a stranger's house and be like, here, can I buy your house? Like, this whole situation is insane. Like, that in itself is like gallus as fuck. Like, it's so bold, it's so just insane the fact they slammed, like, pretty much slammed, like, very politely, or like, no thanks, and closed the door. Wild.
Cheryl's just put in the chat as well. It's like, they're teenagers. It's not like, it's you not know, like imagine a couple, you think they were like trick-or-treating or something. Like, why are they coming
so
to your door?
Weird. So weird. But yes, they very politely are like, no. Well, it's just like, you guys are a cute couple, but like, we already live here. Thanks. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, and Seth's like, so there's cement handprints in the drive. Do you not think that'd be a bit weird? Like, you'd probably have filled those in.
Oh, 100%, I would have filled those in.
Yeah, but then Ryan's like, I think we should tell him everything. So he starts with, like, the sob stories. Family, he grew up there. The family moved to Newport, which was a big mistake, ruined his life, basically. But it let them adopt an ex-convict like Ryan. And then he sort of explains the earthquake and the baby, and, like, they need a fresh start, and living here would be like coming home. And they're like, all right, cute, but we live here. And then they're like, oh, well, we need to phone like Sandy and Kirsten. They'll be able to make this work. This is like, honestly, oh, so problematic. All sorts of levels of privilege.
I don't understand why Sandy and Kirsten didn't just like shut that shit down and be like,
yeah,
no, what are you doing?
Someone in the chat, Charlotte, said this happened to her aunt and uncle about putting a note through their door. And this actually happens in my neighborhood. The school that's in the area is like, it's a good school, and a lot of people want to buy houses, and yeah, people do tend to do that, like put a letter through if you're selling
so
your house.
Wide. Although I would love to buy my grandpa's old house that we obviously don't own anymore, and like sometimes, aww, especially when I lived in Glasgow and I used to run past, like I've seen they've got a cat, like I'm doing a Taylor and I'm low-key stalking them. But like, honestly, if that house ever comes up, I 100% buy it. But it has crossed my mind to be like,
just go and chat with,
maybe
either.
I could just like ask if I could buy their house. But also houses are expensive and I can't afford that. Moving swiftly on. Yes, the boys are very much like, look, I hear what you're saying, but this is already a home. It's ours and it's not for sale. Which I think is very, like, we've listened to your story. Mm-hmm. Thanks, but no thanks. Go away. This is where this point of the story should have ended.
Yeah. They don't understand the boundaries, do they? As often is the case. And then this annoyed me as well. So Seth's like, oh, my dad won't leave my mum. My mum can't fly because she's 9 months pregnant. Or he says, no airline will let her fly because she's 9 months pregnant. And then you're like, what if she didn't? It doesn't make any sense. Like, she shouldn't be flying at 9 months pregnant, regardless of whether it's in Bullitt's plane or whether it's on, like, with an airline. Like, these rules are in place for reasons.
Agreed.
Wild.
Over to Taylor, who's still going on about Ryan, talking about, you know, doing, she's basically decided they're going to do long distance, hasn't she? She's like, I'll come back at Christmas. We can do this. We can do that. I'm going to phone him and tell him. And Summer just is not listening. She's just like, sure, whatever. She was reading an article about The Valley. Remember The Valley, class?
Yeah. Oh, it's good, this. Like,
I love this line because she's like, so, oh, good. It's been picked up for another 5 series. These teen dramas just run forever. We talked about this. I really love it when TV shows reference things outside of the TV show, like break that fourth wall a little bit. And this is very funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, she talks about the teen shows going forever. And she also talks about, she's like, oh, real life Jake broke up with real life April. And that would have been like Summer, Rachel Bilson and Adam Brody as well.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Oh man. Do you know what I did think about? Maybe, let's just chat about it now. I was like, maybe we can talk about it later. We don't really see Seth and Summer kiss very often, like in this last series.
Yeah, they're not as affectionate as,
but yeah, there's no like full sexy scenes. There's no like romantic snogs. If they do kiss, it's very much like a wee.
Yeah.
Like a wee peck. Do you think that's because they were literally just like, I don't want to fucking kiss this guy, I hate him?
Quite possibly. I'm sure they'll tell. Although I did notice, I've not listened to it, but I did see that Adam Brody was on.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the OC, bitches.
Obviously, I'm very sad that this podcast is coming to an end, but I can't fucking wait to listen to that podcast. I cannot wait. It's probably like the only real gem of this podcast finishing. It's like I've finally listened to that one.
Yeah, I'm looking, although prefer for a lot of HelloFresh adverts. I don't know if that's who's still sponsoring them, but that's what I found very...
I don't need them to give that to me. You could give that to me.
But yeah, I did enjoy this chat, but Taylor's just a bit like, Summer, what is going on here? Like, you've gone from being really passionate, being really engaged with the world, to like not even having a shower.
This is a good friend move. This is what friends should do. Be like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Although when she tries to make her wash the industrial cleaner, like in a few scenes later, that's a bit weird. But anyway, yeah, Summer's like, there was the earthquake, the comic store shut down, Seth's room was destroyed, he moved in, I didn't go to George, and basically they just exhausted all conversation, turned on the telly, stopped worrying and got comfortable. And yeah, just...
You can so see how that happens. Like, you totally, I know it's completely fictional, but you can completely understand how people fall into ruts like this. It's just,
yeah.
It's sad in a way, especially like if she like has compromised her passions and her career. And I think like it's just that when you think about how one decision you make can completely change your life, it's almost seeing like that alternative, like this is what could have been type thing, you know?
Yeah, totally. And then they hear some thudding, and it turns out that Wee Pancakes has also been up the duff and had some little bunnies.
Bunnies don't look like that when they're born, just so you know.
But yeah, it's basically Summer's like, oh, I'm a bad crack, Mom. She just can't believe she didn't even realise the rabbit was pregnant, Little Pancakes.
Also, she thought Pancakes was a boy, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
She's not a very good pet mother.
Nah.
Over to Berkeley. The boys are actually at the university, and Seth says to Ryan, in a couple of weeks, you'll have all these new faces to punch. It's almost like the encounter at the Berkeley house is given, I was going to say Adam. No, that's his actor's name. His character's name is Seth. I should know this by now. So it's almost like the interaction at the Berkeley house has completely given Seth that kind of like kick up the arse to be like, things change and things need to change. Like change can be scary, but like change is good.
Yeah,
and I feel like this is the start of him being like, we need to shake some things up.
Yeah.
Throw some cats amongst the pigeons.
That's it. Because I think he said, Ryan's like, oh, are you getting nostalgic? And Seth's like, no, like everyone's moving on. Like Newport is over. And he's like, you're going to be living here. You might even meet another Taylor Townsend. And then he's like, no, there's like only one. And you're still in love with her. Like you haven't mentioned her since we bumped into the airport. So therefore you must be. And yeah, Ryan's like, come out, you get some coffee. And cue someone handing Seth a George flyer. And he's like, oh, are you Paul from George? But it turns out that he's Tom.
But he knows Paul, and Paul was really disappointed when Summer didn't join them.
I thought you could have given him, like, they could have called him, like, John or Paul, like, keep the little, like, Beatles references going. But no, it's Tom.
It's not, they've ruined it. They've ruined it for everything. Yeah, so he's like, look, give her this. I'd hate to see someone like Summer waste her passion. And is Bullet on the flyer?
Yeah.
But then the flyer that he gives her later, Bullet isn't on the flyer.
Yes, they've written this down, yep. So
continuity.
Yes.
Come on now. I know it's the last episode. Everyone's tired. Everyone wants to go to the rap party. But don't let it drop now, guys. You've done such a good job thus far.
But yeah, so we've got the flyer, and yeah, I think it was quite funny that like, Bullet's totally emblazoned all over it. And then when Ryan's getting his coffee, Taylor calls him while she's sort of like donning these marigolds, gutting her room, and you can hear Summer in the shower complaining about how the soap's stings. That's because it's like industrial cleaner, some lie she's given her. And Taylor's like, okay, when you get back, like, I think we should talk. And Ryan's like, oh, I don't know when we'll get back. And she's like, well, what are you doing in Berkeley anyway? I was like, well, it's not really that much of a long shot that he'd be in Berkeley, considering he's going there to college. But anyway, she was like, oh, the Coens might be moving to Berkeley. And Taylor realizes with like sort of like rapidly rising levels of panic that if this happens, Ryan will never come back to Newport and she'll basically never see him again. So they sort of agree to have a chat about it all post-wedding.
Yes. So see this next scene. This is the same place that Caleb and Julie got married, right?
I don't know, but why is Julie Cooper marrying a multi-billionaire and she is setting up her own wedding?
Why is she setting up the flowers? Honestly. Like, I'm getting married next year and there's so many things I'm trying to save money on by being like, oh, it's totally fine. I can do this. If money wasn't an object, I wouldn't be doing a shiny fuck. Like, literally would not be doing anything. I don't understand. It's so weird. But this is the same venue that she got married to Caleb. Why would you get married in the same place? It's LA. There's so many cool venues. Why would you get married in the same place you got married to your dead ex-husband?
Yeah, it's... doesn't make any sense. But yeah, so Caitlin's like, I've got my shoes, I've got my dress, I've got my cheat sheet with all the names of the brothers, which I thought was quite funny. And then they're sort of joking, like, oh, the baby will probably come out with a cowboy hat shouting bang. And then Julie's like, or maybe he'll come out in a wife beater. And Caitlin's like, what? So yeah, the baby's Frank's, the plot thickens, and Bullet knows.
He does, he does. I'm sorry to go back to Caleb, but Jonathan has just said, like, Caleb is the best and he should have kept him in it. I cannot agree more. I love a baddie.
Oh, I forgot you totally loved Caleb.
Loved him. I think he's in an episode of their OC podcast, so maybe I'll listen to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't believe, I don't know, I'm quite close to my mum, but I just don't think she would ever digress. Like, the situation that Julie's in, mm-hmm. where Frank is the baby daddy and Bullet mm-hmm. is in, being that honest with her 15-year-old just feels wild. Like, it just feels really wild.
Yeah. So it turns out that she told Bullet everything and he still wanted to marry her. And Caitlin's like, but do you love him? And she's like, yeah, but it's a bit lackluster, isn't it?
As the amazing actor that Julie Cooper is, I did not believe the yes.
Yeah, no, didn't believe the yes.
Right. I cannot, I feel the longer we go into this episode, the more annoyed I'm going to be. So I'm going to try and, like, rein it in a bit.
Yeah, likewise.
Can you imagine? You've just told two teenagers, fuck off, you're not buying my house. However long later, their parents turn up and now all four of them are giving you the sob story of why they should buy the house.
Yeah, and says, like, I think my little sister deserves a chance at growing up normal. And
I would have just called the police. I mean, 100%.
I think they're being very patient. They're like, look, we've been given the chat. And then Kirsten's like, oh, is the toilet still in the right place? Can I use it? Goes into the house. Then Sandy's like, oh, I love what you've done with the decorating. Like, can I come in and have a look at the kitchen? No, Sandy, you can't. And then all of a sudden, like, Kirsten calls out, our water's broken, there's no time for an ambulance, and conveniently, Patrick is a midwife. And Todd just looks totally, like, horrified.
Patrick and Todd, the two heroes we didn't know we needed in the OC, but we got them right in the end.
Yeah.
I am no pregnancy expert. I have not pushed a child out of my vagina personally, but my friends who have told me labour is long. How in God green's earth could she not have got to the hospital?
Yeah, it's God
stupid.
Knows.
Stupid.
Who knows?
Okay, it is the next day and Sophie Rose Cohen has been born.
Actual tears again.
Are you kidding me?
No, what's wrong with you? Is your heart made of stone? Babies
it
always
is,
make me cry.
Clearly. Yeah. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
No. I was just like, she definitely had time to go to the hospital. That's all I can think. I think I was very emotionally detached from the new baby because I was like, she 100%. She could have been back to the hospital in LA, in Newport, in the time. Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. It's stupid. But Kirsten, obviously, she's just given birth to it. It's like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Oh.
Yeah.
And Seth, peak Big Brother vibes, was like, oh, she will be in 2 years' time when she doesn't look like a squished meatball.
She doesn't eat as well. She looks really cute. Like,
she looks great.
She's not a new baby. Like,
that's not 2 week old.
Yeah, that's not like fresh.
When they're fresh, they're like so pruny looking.
Yeah. But yeah, this is probably one of like my favourite Bullet lines as well. So the boys like clear out so that Kirsten can feed the baby. And then Bullet, just bold as brass, like strides in. He's like, no, thank you, Kay. I'm lactose intolerant. Like, none for me. You're just like, oh, man.
It's very funny. Very funny. Emily has just pointed out rightly that Sophie is named after Kerry's favourite character.
The Nana.
The Nana.
And Julie's, Nana. Kirsten's mum, they referenced that her mum is called Rose. So it's like the two.
Oh, that is. Okay, that's cute. That's way cuter than I initially thought it was going to be.
Yeah. But yeah, Bullet can't get any airspace for the wedding. Do you know what I noticed? Like, Bullet loves a simile. Like, I can't even remember what comparison, but he just talks in similes all the time. And they're always like absolutely ridiculous.
Only an English teacher would
point
that out.
That he does. But yeah, he's like, right, they're not going to make the wedding, and they'll apologize to Julie, and he's like, yep, I will. And then he's like to Patrick, and when Bullet number 13 or whatever pops out, like, I want you there, and the guy's just like, whoa, who is this guy?
How annoying. Like, So you're just sitting in your house having a lovely time. These punks turn up to the door. You send them away. They turn up with their parents. One of them ends up giving birth, and you have to have birthing stuff, gooey, insidey grossness on your bed because this family won't fuck off.
Yeah.
Todd and Patrick are so chill in this situation.
They are.
I would have called the police by this point and been like, get out. Don't care if you're giving birth. Get out.
Yeah, please leave. So then we see Frank meeting Caitlin, and Caitlin's outfit here is totally peak, like, noughties, isn't it? She's got, like, footless tights on, like a long dress top. We didn't even see in the opening scene as well, she's sporting another, like, crazy Baker Boy hat.
She is. She's channeling her inner Marissa.
Yeah. But basically she's giving Frank, like, a right talking to for leaving Julie.
She's a 15-year-old girl. Why doesn't Frank just tell her to fuck off?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I panicked. And she told me she was pregnant. And then when I went back to see her, she was having dinner with Bullet and she'd made her choice. And then Caitlin's like, you're a quitter. And he's like, look, this is what you wanted. You wanted Bullet to win. You wanted a new family. And she's like, nope, I just want my mom to be happy. And then she kind of stalks off and she's like, I thought the Atwoods were good at fighting.
Frank is trash. Absolute trash. Completely understand that being told you're going to be a father is scary.
Yeah.
Does he have to push it out through his vagina? No, nope. He does not. Does he need to carry it about for 9 months? No, he does not. What the fuck are you scared of? Responsibility? What a surprise. Frank Atwood is trash.
Yeah, he is.
Trash man who needs to get in the sea.
Yeah, he's a coward, as Danny's just put in the chat. Mark says Frank is trash. Cheryl says Frank is the worst. Does anyone like Frank? Will we put that out there? Anyone like Frank? No, Frank
is trash.
Yeah, great. Nope, excellent. So Sandy's on the stairs of the Berkeley house with Seth and they're having a wee bit of a moment and Sandy's like, oh, feels like I've landed in a time warp. I can't believe it's been 20 years. And Seth's just like, oh, you look great, Dad. I wish I looked as half as good as you. And Sandy's like, look, what's going on? You're being like such a rat. It's like change is happening all around us. And Seth's like, oh, I just don't know. Summer and I are good for each other right now, but I'm scared to let her go. And then Sandy's like, look, things have a way of coming back around, because it's gone obviously full circle for them. And then we get a wee shot of the cute handprints, but yeah, it's a bit weird that they're still in the driveway all this time later.
Do you know, I wouldn't keep kids' handprints. Do you know what I would keep? Cat paw prints.
Oh yeah, they'd be so cute. That'd be like mega cute. Yeah.
Cute.
Sorry, I nearly was just having a laugh there. Suzanne's put in the chat that Johnny Harper was her first love. She used to have him on her Bebo skin, mine Bebo skin.
There's so much to unpack in that sentence.
Oh, I bloody loved Bebo so much. I think we've talked about this in the chat before.
We were friends on Bebo.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Of course we were, a classic.
Yeah.
Maybe of course we were.
Did I give you any love?
You weren't in my top 10, babe, so you were dead to me. That's fine.
So now like top 16.
Nine? It was in threes or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
God,
or
was no. It was our fours? Oh, I don't know. But anyway. Yeah, of course it's all kicking off in the chat about Johnny being worse than Frank, but we'll come back to that. But yeah, Summer and Taylor are at the wedding. These bridesmaids' dresses are shit. They're really bad.
Why would you make your loved ones wear such an ugly dress?
Yeah, they're rubbish. But Taylor's already contemplating a fling with one of Bullet's sons to get her mind off Ryan. And then Summer's sort of cuts to Summer, and I like this was like a really nice tender moment. So Summer's helping Julie with her dress, which is actually quite nice, quite Grecian style suits her.
I mean, Julie Cooper would look good in a trash bag.
Yeah, she would. But Julie's like to Summer, look, are you okay? And she's like, oh, I just think I'm too comfortable. Like, do you think I'm making a mistake living with Seth so soon? And Julie's like, look, marrying young meant that I didn't get to really find myself. And she's like, look at me 20 years later and I'm still knocked up on my wedding day.
I feel this is really, really important, this conversation to have in a teen drama, because like, we've talked about this so much, like when you're 14 to cough 25, when you think you're like deludedly in love with somebody and then it turns out that you're not. But like in that moment, it's so poignant and nothing else exists and nothing else matters. And like, so many people must in their 30s, once they've separated from that trash man that they settled with, be like, what the fuck was I doing that whole time? Yeah,
so
and
I much.
Just like, these conversations are so important. Mm-hmm. And you don't see them that often. Women speaking to women to be like, love is great, relationships are great, relationships are important, but fuck that shit. Put yourself first.
Yeah.
Go and live your life. Go and learn your learnings. Make your mistakes. Have all that lovely, lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was really important.
Yeah.
I also thought it was so sad when she was like, oh, I didn't go to college or learn anything or have like any real skills. And I was
Julie,
you're like the master of manipulation. Mm-hmm. You have so many skills.
Okay, so Hart, and I think, like you said, that conversation, it's so important. And I think it's so important to have it with someone who isn't your mum. You know,
yeah.
Because I think when it comes from a parent, you're like, yeah, what do you know? Like, you're just my parent, you know? But coming from Julie, and she's like, you're a great girl. The world deserves to know you. Don't settle for comfortable. And then, oh my God, like, it's all going off in the chat. But this was hard, man. The locket. And she gives her the locket, and it's got Vanessa in it. And oh, geez. Like, yeah. If you weren't crying then, is this where the single tear came out?
This is where the single tear came out. I think my nostalgia love for Marissa is heavy at the moment. I've really regressed to being 14 and just, I love her.
Like, yeah.
And I think, acknowledging Marissa is not something they've done a lot this mm-hmm. series, and a lot of times and a lot of places they probably should have. And I just am so grateful that they have in this final episode.
No, so, so much. But yeah, it's lovely. It's a really nice moment. And then interrupted by Bullet, who storms in and he's like, right, we're getting married. Kirsten's not going to be here because she dropped up child in San Fran.
What?
And she's like, I can't get married without Kiki. And honestly. So the whole wedding just decided to turn up at the Berkeley house. How many times has Bullet been back and forth to this Berkeley house? How many planes did it take? Like,
first of all, protect the environment.
Yeah, I mean,
plane that often.
Was out marching yesterday, and then you've got
summer would not
TV
have got
shows.
On that
summer
plane.
Would not have got on that plane.
No. Todd and Patrick would not have opened the door to 100 guests or however many people were there. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's insane. The fact that Kirsten and that were even still in the house is insane. If I was Todd and Patrick, the next morning I would have been like, right, cool, get in a taxi and get out of here. Go to a hotel. Get out of my house. The fact Todd even like entertains doing the wedding planning is. I hope he's getting a sweet, sweet check in the post.
Yeah. All the Coens are sort of sitting outside, and Ryan and Taylor go to have a chat. And he's like, look, I know I was maybe quite insensitive on the phone. And she's like, look, just the sort of realization hit that if they move to Berkeley, like, might never see each other again. And he's like, oh, well, look, when we do say goodbye, like, I want it to be friends. I want us to be on good terms. And I think she's like, oh, yep, terrific. Like, or no, she's like, oh, Ryan Atwood, like, mon ami, terrif. Like, just totally not okay with it. And then they just like shake hands, and then they have a wee kiss, and then they start shagging in Todd's room.
A wee kiss. Yeah. Right. We have a new entry to top five hottest snogs in the OC. They have been the beigest couple in fucking existence.
Yeah.
But this is up there with the, when he runs in, when she's chatting to the French lawyer, when they're not going out and he kisses her.
Yeah.
Ryan and Taylor have two snogs in the top five hot snogs.
They
do. Obviously.
They do. And Todd walks in on them and he's just like, oh, whatever. You would be absolutely raging. You would be like, get out of my house.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been the, what's the phrase? The straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
Would have been like, all of you, get out of here. Take your stupid baby with you.
So Seth and Summer sort of contemplating the fact that they are now grandparents, and Summer's just like, look, I can't believe we didn't know that Pancakes was pregnant. We've been in a rut. Like, can we realistically spend the next 4 years like this? And Seth's like, look, I'm quite a skeptical guy. I don't believe in signs, but... And then he produces a George flyer that doesn't have Bullet's face emblazoned all over it. And Summer is like, you've got to go. And she's like, but what about us? And he's like, this is for both of us. And yeah, so it's decided.
I got really distracted.
Were you distracted by China has alopecia and block cats?
I was distracted by China. Sorry. Also, yeah, Jimmy had a dog in the pilot. He was out walking the dog.
Ah, yes, yes.
That just never appeared ever again.
Yeah. Oh, undeveloped character indeed.
So many. if you are listening, Josh, and you've got this far into the podcast, I'd like to formally apologise to just how often we slag off your show.
Yeah, your show. We love it though, we're still here.
It's made for a great podcast though, so
yeah.
Thanks, I guess. Where are we? What are we talking about?
Julie and Bullitt are saying their vows, and then like you knew it was going to happen, didn't you? So the car revs up, Frank runs out and he's like, Julie! But he's obviously not aware that the wedding's been relocated to Berkeley. Yeah. Cut back to the wedding and Caitlin's phone rings. And it's Frank, and of course, put him on speakerphone. Honestly.
See if anybody at my wedding has their phone go off, they will be killed on the spot.
But if they're like, Heather, it's Oliver. I'd be like, in that case.
What's Oliver doing calling? I told you not to call me. you wouldn't do it. It's... I find this really difficult because a lot of the TV shows like you were talking about with Succession are so true. Like they work so hard to make it real life, you know? And when things like this happen that just make you go, this is a TV show and it would never happen, it annoys me quite a lot.
Yeah. But basically he loves her and he wants to be there for their son till the whole bloody wedding.
I did enjoy the gasps. You could literally just see it around. And then like Todd and Patrick look at each other like.
They're like, oh my God. Yeah.
It was very funny.
Bullitt, I love this. Bullitt just was like, that's enough of that. Hangs up, chucks the phone. And he's like, let's get on with this wedding.
Poor Bullitt though.
I know.
Poor Bullitt. Like he has gone in with, okay, very enthusiastic. but like.
Slightly overzealous.
He knows what he wants. Like he knows he wants to be in a relationship with Julie. That didn't happen. Then, you know, Frank ups and leaves when she's pregnant. She explains to Bullitt the whole situation and he still wants to be there for her and still wants to love her and still wants to support her. And I'm just like, why go back to Frank?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't. That's not what happens. But still, it's annoying and it's very annoying.
Yeah. But Julie's like, I need a moment. And then again, kicks out another simile. That woman is like nailing Jell-O to the wall. So Julie's basically having a cry. I can imagine. So wedding day, she's pregnant, very emotional.
She goes off to another wee room, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's like,
comes in.
She's like, not now. Mum's trying to decide who to marry. Caitlin's
Frank,
just like
trash man, multi-millionaire.
Yeah, billionaire.
I don't want to be that guy, but why? You could learn to love Bullitt. We have learned to love Bullitt.
Yeah. So Caitlin's like, look, Mum, whatever you decide, this is it. Like, this needs to be forever. So take your time.
Yeah.
And yeah, everyone else is just like milling about. Kirsten and Sandy just look so happy with little baby Sophia.
Yeah. And then we see Todd and Patrick kind of whispering to each other and then they're like, oh yeah, let's go and tell them.
Let's do it.
And they go over and they're like, we can't fight fate. We're going to sell you the house.
We can't fight fate. Sophie, you're home. The Coens are moving to Berkeley.
I get that it's like warm and fuzzy, but Todd and Patrick are nicer people than I am.
Yeah. Yeah, so Julie enters the garden and Bullitt's like, have you made your decision? And then, yeah, we're back. We then cut to, we're back at the Coens and packing up. And Sandy's, yeah, this was, I was like, oh my gosh, Sandy's got like Sophie in a little carrier. And it's just like mega cute, yeah.
Sandy Cohen holding a baby.
Can't
really
deal.
Does things to my ovaries.
Yeah.
It really does.
And then we've got Summer, Seth, Taylor and Ryan. They're all there to see Summer off on the George bus. And
yep.
Ryan casually takes a bunny out of his pocket. Little flapjacks.
Ryan would not have a bunny.
No, he's not a bunny guy, is he?
Although wouldn't have a bunny.
I did like when she's like, I'll take good care of him, I'll clean out his cage. And then it's like, yeah, that cage should not be used for any fighting. I was like, oh,
cage fighting.
Taylor gets upset and she's like, oh, you're the only girlfriend I ever had. And then Taylor and Ryan sort of let them say their goodbyes.
Yeah. He's very much like, oh, there's lots of boys on that bus. And she's like, look, you've got nothing to worry about. This isn't goodbye. Aww. You're my destiny, Cohen.
Go save the world, Summer Roberts.
She should have fucking dumped him. She should have dumped him. Or at least gone on a break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're literally going, Heather, I hate you and you're ruining the show for me.
Yeah, leave it, leave it.
Do you know what I did? Another continuity issue, just thinking about it. Did you see Ryan's car? Has he just bought the same car?
Yeah, because that car got destroyed to like fuck in the earthquake. Last the earthquake. Yeah, so yeah, a big concrete lamp fell on it, didn't it? And then Ryan's like, it's totally fine in this episode. Probably just bought a new one. You know what they're like? That boy's probably got no luck with cars, has he?
No.
His mum saved so hard to give him that one that then obviously Marissa died in. And yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Most importantly, Sandy's bagel slicer is packed. That's all we're worried
about. Yes.
And then we cut quite quickly to Ryan and Taylor, who are having dinner in this like little... You can't really tell. It just looks like they're having dinner, but then we find out later they're actually on a little train to New York. They're going to try and make the Berkeley-Paris long distance thing work. Having done long distance between London and Glasgow, which is in the same time zone, that was hard. Time zone difference. Fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. Go and find a new Henri. Yeah. That's what she should do.
But it turns out that no airline would take her. So that's why she's having to like get a train and a boat to Paris. And yeah, then they have like a little kiss on the train and then the train moves and he's going to have to get off at the next stop and that's not for an hour. And oh, there's a lot they can do in an hour. So yeah. Danny said that she has train issues. there's only like young people on the train. This makes no sense. Trains equal old people. Where are the old people?
The only reference to trains I have in America is in Sex and the City when they get the train from New York to, I think it's San Francisco or LA. That's the only reference I have, and it's full of weirdos and Amish people.
Yeah, I got the Amtrak from New York to Philadelphia. Quite a nice train. It was a good train experience. Good Wi-Fi on it. That was a long time ago, though.
Good Wi-Fi. That's James review. Good Wi-Fi. That's good Wi-Fi.
The cones are doing...
I've just realised I've been lying to you.
What?
I shed 2 tears.
Oh, when they were... Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Lots of... Oh
I'm
God.
Sorry. I've called myself out on it. It's okay. Yeah. So then the movers are in. Do you want me to take this if you're going to get upset?
Yeah, go for it. Okay, go for it.
So the movers are in. That's the last of it. The Coens are all packed up and they're ready to move to Berkeley. And they have this lovely, lovely group hug, which is like, it looks really genuine. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love it to be that this was the last scene that they shot because it looks like that. It looks warm. Seth's flying away to Providence. Ryan's driving to Berkeley. He's going to follow Sandy and Kirsten up. And then Seth and Ryan just have this really lovely interaction, which is like, you know, I'm a lot better off now than when you found me. And they both kind of agree that, you know, they've brought a lot to each other's lives, which is nice. It's nice to acknowledge when your friends, you know, make you a better person and, you know, bring you joy. And then they ruin it by some, is it even light homophobia? Just like, it's like, oh, should we hug? No, let's not do that. And then they do hug in the end. And you're just like, you could have just fucking hugged, lads. Boys can hug. It's okay.
Yeah, but do you know this was, this is only the second hug they've had in the entire series?
When did they hug before? When Ryan was leaving?
The first time they hugged was in, episode, like, the first episode of, like, season one, the pilot.
Yeah.
How wild is that?
I mean, I'm not a big hugger, but...
No, I'm a hugger. I am a hugger.
You are a hugger. Cool. So yeah, they hug and then they're like, all right, cool. See you later. Ryan decides he's going to stay and have, you know, one final look around because, you know, the place has meant so much to him. And this is where I shed a single tear. He's cutting about and you get all these lovely flashbacks to like the pilot episode. And
it cuts back to him in the first episode in like the pool house. And then you've got like a little voiceover of Seth and he's like, oh, I don't know what to say, that you totally had my back out there. And then like he opens the door and it's him looking out over Newport and like sort of taking in the house for the first time.
Yeah. It's all from the pilot though. That's the only bit. Somebody, Jonathan in the comments, has spotted that as well. And do you know what it just reminded me of, which I've not thought about in ages? Mm-hmm. Remember when Normal People came out?
Oh, God.
And what's his chop was wearing his chain.
Connell's chain, yeah.
Ryan's choker walked, so that's all I could think about.
You don't realise they look so different as well.
They look like, so... He looks like a baby.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Little baby Ryan.
Yeah. you see like Seth playing video games in the living room, and then you get like the little, and it's Kirsten's like, Ryan's going to stay with us now, and oh Jesus. Yeah, as soon as I was like, oh my God, I feel, he gets back into his car, which like it's such a sick Jeep, like it's such a nice car.
Yeah.
So he reverses out the driveway, and then we like cut back to him with his black eye, and obviously Sandy's driving him out the drive, and then oh my God, just like bawling my eyes out, like he sees Marissa.
Little Marissa, she's like 6 foot tall. He sees Marissa. Yeah, this is where the show should have ended. This should have been the end.
Yeah.
This would have been perfect. This would have been the perfect ending.
Yeah, but I love when the ties shut up. Like, I needed that from this show. I needed the closure.
This is like, do you remember in Harry Potter, in the last Harry Potter film? And it's like, they go back to the train station and all the kids are there. Like, that scene shouldn't have been in it. It was absolutely fucking bullshit. And
yeah, that was...
This next section gives me the same energy.
Yeah, so we are at Berkeley. They're welcoming the class of, like, 2012. So we've got Summer out protesting nuclear weapons. And Seth is in his dorm, like, sort of, he's been keeping her newspaper cuttings. And Sandy's lecturing.
That's cute.
That is really cute.
I'll give you that. That's really cute. And then we cut to Caitlin, who's, like, nailing it at school and doing really, really well. And the only part of this entire section that I actually really like... Julie graduating.
Oh. And they've all got what the fuck is the situation? Are they in like a thruple? Or are they like, what? Who's she with?
I would love it if they were in a thruple.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
That would be great. I mean, they're not. That's like, they can't even handle like sex work being real work. If we threw a thruple in there, their brains would fucking explode.
Yeah, Frank and the kid, they're all in the audience with their Team Julie t-shirts on. Emily's just said in the chat, which is like such a valid point, like, what about Kiki? Like, what's Kirsten doing? Is that just her? Oh, she's a mom now, like, who cares?
She's a mum now. She doesn't exist. She's not a real human.
Yeah. So yeah, by this point, I was like bawling my eyes out uncontrollably.
Justice for the Nana and now justice for Kiki.
Yeah.
We've got two in the list. What would Kiki be up to? Cutting about. Maybe she started a new company. Maybe she's becoming like a food influencer in Berkeley.
Maybe.
That's what I would like for her. She'd be good at that. She could do it at home. Yeah. That's right. If everyone could just remember this for the next time you watch the OC, that's what actually happens with Kirsten. I know it's not in the show, but yeah. She has actually just become a super famous like food blogger influencer in Berkeley.
Yeah. Jonathan's
pass it on.
Jonathan's put in the chat, did the dating thing. They did get scrapped. Yeah, the prostitution ring got exposed. And yeah, Kirsten was just like, yeah, not doing this anymore. Not going to do business with you. So yeah, there's a lot in the chat as well. We then cut to Summer and Seth's wedding and people are like infuriated about Summer sticking her tongue out when she walks down the aisle.
So no, right. Summer sticking her tongue out is cute as fuck and I will die on that hill. Seth's reaction is insane. Adam Brody is a decent enough actor. This response was, it honestly makes a face like he just, like she just flashed her tits at him. Like his reaction does not make sense. He's literally like, what is that? It doesn't make sense. I object.
Yeah, Ryan and Taylor sort of exchanged little glances. So we don't really know what's happened there. I like that. That left a little... Who knows? And then, oh God, man, the last scene. I can't believe we're here. Yeah, so we've got Ryan leaving a construction site with a briefcase. And he sees, like, a little baby Ryan almost, doesn't he?
Yeah, I've written down he sees a little punk.
Little punk.
A little bitch. He sees a little bitch. That's so cruel. We can't call this young youth a little bitch. No. I feel so mean. We can't end this podcast being mean. He sees a young youth who needs some support and, you know, structure and help in his life. There we go.
It's a little bitch.
We fixed it.
Then the kid, so Ryan's like getting all these flashbacks and then the kid, and he's like, hey kid, need any help?
yeah
that's it. That Danny said, like, he looks washed and fine.
He does. Just looks like he's sitting at a phone book, but sure. Yeah, and that's it. My name's Heather and I've seen the OC.
Woo! Amazing. Oh, man. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm quite warm. I feel warm. I feel emotional. I feel a bit tired.
Oh, it's adrenaline, isn't it?
It's good. Okay, shall we do listener of the week quickly? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to do that?
I'll go and get my guitar. I'm kidding on.
Can you imagine? We should have done that. That would have been hilarious. Why didn't we think about this? Oh, man. Right. Come on.
Okay.
For the last time.
Da-da-da-da-da, listener of the week. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
And the next bit. Thank you. I can't believe you're about to shortchange.
Sorry, I'm just like, I'm embarrassed.
We're not finished yet. God.
I was just remembering you went like totally rogue on Thursdays, I'm sure. You know, like,
it was because we were recording on a Friday. It was, yeah. If you enjoy our chaotic energy, episode 15 is for you. This week's listener of the week. So I'm sure you've all heard this in other episodes before. When I started this podcast, I was very sad. And I made it to kind of take some control back onto my life and, you know, do something that sparked joy and was fun. And like, I just cannot, oh my God, I'm getting emotional. I just cannot believe this like community that we've made. And like, we just get, I'm always so overwhelmed with people who message us to be like, you know, you've brought some joy into my life in whatever way. Oh my God, Jane, you're going to need to take it away. God. It's just, it really means a lot to us, and we wouldn't have this podcast without you guys.
Love you guys. Yeah, you're all our listeners of the week.
You get a car, and we don't have cars. Sorry, but yeah. Oh my God. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Right.
Man.
Oh, keep it together, Heather. And then just a couple of thank yous before we go. I would like to thank my first podcast wife, Kerry. I just so distinctly remember us being in like Scribbler or Paper Chase in Edinburgh train station. And me just being like, I've got this idea. Like, do you fancy doing a podcast with me? And without any hesitation, she didn't even know what it was. She was like, yeah, fuck it. That sounds fun. So thanks, Kerry, for agreeing to start this madness with me. And then I would like to thank Jane for taking up the reins so effortlessly. And I just, like, that's a really daunting task to step in to something when someone's already been doing it. And like, I just remember you being like, oh my God, there's such big shoes to fill, but like, you've like scrapped those shoes and made them your own, and just like, you brought your own sneaks, man. Like, you have smashed it, and I have loved like getting to know you better. I've loved hanging out with you. I mean, we're still gonna do it, like, we're not dying, but like, in this form, it's just been bloody smashing.
It's lovely. Thanks, big thanks to both Kerry and Heather again. I remember I mentioned previously on the podcast, I know Kerry and Heather both separately, like, didn't realise they were pals. And then when they were doing this, I was like, oh, amazing. And it did come at a time I was going through a bit of a rough time as well. And I would just, I'm sure, like, so when people send in messages, I would just like, when your life can be a wee bit chaotic, if you know that every Thursday you have something that you can listen to, and it's, I would just absolutely like laugh out loud so much. So then when like Heather messaged me to say she had a question, and I was like, oh my God, where's this going? So it was like just totally like so humbled and like ecstatic to be asked, and obviously like super super nervous, but everyone's been so lovely, and it's just it's so fun and such a nice like little community. And to do stuff like this, it is, it's still completely mind-blowing that you're all sitting here listening to us talking like absolute trash on a Sunday night.
I know it's just like, honestly, like, anybody who has ever taken the time to message us on socials, like, we read every single one of your messages, like, and they all mean so much to us. And it's just like, it blows my mind.
A bit shit replying sometimes, sorry, like, because
the simple fact that we have like thousands of listeners across the world, just like, it's more than I could ever have dreamed for this. Like, we got featured in Stylist magazine, we got featured in NME. Like, it's really It's really stupid, actually.
Yeah.
I was talking about fucking naked horses as come to this, Jane. It's come to this. But yeah, we are going to continue for the next couple of months doing one episode a month, going into some deep dives. So if you've got any suggestions or anything you would like us to chat about, you need to hit us up at Never Seen the OC on Instagram. We are also still going to be doing like a Listener of the Week special. So if you've not sent us a sweet, sweet voice note, make sure you do that. HelloSethCohen@gmail.com. And yeah, I guess.
Yes. So a wrap. The end isn't near, it's here.
The end is not near, it is here. Bye.